people gather on Sundays, they go for major programs, pursuing witches, pursuing curses, talking about it all the time. Their children grow up afraid rather than confident. What you magnify controls your life. So David said, magnify the Lord. David said, magnify the Lord. I started today's message by picking from there, that Proverbs chapter 3. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And I said, there is a name he bears all the time. You know, I mentioned this to you last time, that somebody sent me a text. And I saw an interesting name of God, Genesis chapter 16. Let's just read it so that you understand what I'm talking about. I was saying to you earlier, if they shout for you, hey, Ebola virus, Lassa fever, whatever it is, your immediate response must be to do what? Magnify God. And listen, I believe very strongly many of these news media, they are satanic. What they are trying to do is to have you respond the way they respond. Listen, life is a battle of what?
Words.
Always utter words that show what God is in that situation. I won't describe the name of God. That translation is God who keeps me through the valley of the shadow of death so that I fear no evil. That's the name. He is the Lord who uttered a word and confirms the word that no evil shall befall me and none shall come near my dwelling. No plague. That's the name. That sentence is the name of God. If you must discuss Ebola, this is how you start. As a Christian, it's rumors. You know, the Bible says that there will be rumors of things like this. Rumor doesn't mean it's a lie. It just means you are hearing of it. You understand? Yes, and that we know that despite these things, our God is still good. In the midst of affliction, he will keep us. You start describing the God who kept Israel in the midst of plagues in Egypt. That over in Goshen, there was no Ebola. Like my friend that I called, I said, how is it? He said, we have drawn a bloodline. Ebola knows where not to cross. Do you understand? That is how Christians respond. Not, have you washed your hand? You bathed this morning? The man who greeted you that day, do you know where he went? I'm just warning you, listen, no matter how much God loves you, if you give in to fear, you sink. Did you hear what I said? No matter how much he loves you, you give in to fear, you sink. That was what happened to Peter. You know the story of Peter. And that's why I'm talking like this. You, child of God, must not give in to fear. I said, life is a battle of words. The way you handle it is not, hey, what if I don't have too much faith? Don't worry about it, too much faith. The little faith you have. He said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you shall not keep quiet. You shall say to the mountain. Are you getting my point? So that little faith, use it to say. The problem with people is that their faith does not say anything. They try to be nice. They want to be politically correct. Let people not say that I'm a fanatic. Say whatever you want to say. I will leave you with that. You that's calling me a fanatic. What about Ebola? I said, you know, the Bible talks about the testimonies. He said, because they did not consider the testimonies. That was the reason why the disciples did not understand the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You describe story. I've considered the testimonies of people like John G. Lake. No, John G. Lake was, you know, if you notice, I said something some time ago. I didn't even know Ebola was coming. I've been saying that people think that you have handled it. I said, when another plague wants to come, you'll be afraid. I've been saying that thing for a long time. That the world thinks that they've handled HIV. You've heard the joke now about Ebola and HIV. A man was sick. When the family found out it was HIV, they said, praise God, it's only HIV. They were phoning each other, have you heard? Uncle sickness is not Ebola, it's only HIV. Are you serious? Pray! People now desire HIV. Why? Because a worse thing. Oh. But it's not new. This is just confirm the word of God. That's what they do. They just confirm the word of God. Years ago, smallpox was killing people. The world said, yes, we've tackled smallpox. And they were happy. In case you do not know, there are two reasons you tackle smallpox or anything like it. One, because, one very important reason, because the sufferings of the people, all right, caused them to cry to God. And God is very merciful. And he looked down upon their cries and he releases wisdom to solve the problem. That's one. Secondly, from day one, God sets a time limit for some things. He tells David, 3 days in my hands. And listen to me, at the end of the third day, what will have happened, all right, is that someone will just have an idea. Let's do this if you stop. And they will do it if you stop. They will not give the name of the Lord to a vain thing. When people did not understand, I said, look, another day will come. Now, I'm going somewhere. Before smallpox that time, there was plague. Plague was really a plague. You understand? There are diseases that are like that are plagues. Plague was a plague. It used to wipe out half of a community in 1 month. A man will travel, say, I'll be back at the end of the month. A month later, he comes back, half of the village is dead. And our brother in the faith, John Gillick, will stay in the midst of that and be ministering to the sick. And they'll be wondering, are you not afraid? He said, of what? Of this thing infecting? He said, no, it can't. My body is wired to my brain. And my brain is connected to my spirit. And my spirit is connected to God. And from God, through this circuit, the life of God flows through. And nothing, no plague can stay on that skin and live. And he will literally put his hands to those things. They will test and the things will die. It was not a lie. It was true. So we consider such testimonies. So when somebody says that Ebola is coming, say, where? Don't worry. The same God that who in his word said, no evil shall befall you and no plague will come near your dwelling place is on our side. Our lives are hid with Christ in that God. Death is not an accident. Death is a spirit. And he knows where the line of the blood of Jesus has been drawn and it will not cross. No, listen, anytime you watch news, you read newspapers, and they tell you things, repeat these words. If you look into the heavens, listen, I was reading it yesterday night, or the night before, about the story of that plague, because that caused me to study, that came into Israel. The Bible says that the children of that man, Onan, they looked up, they saw the angels, they ran away. The thing was a disease all over the society. But there was one angel that had a sword in his hand drawn, and that was what was causing it. This thing is a spirit. Stop thinking it's just you didn't wash your hand, you didn't wash your shirt. The Bible says that this enemy goes around looking for whom he may devour. Listen, when God's indignation is released, that Satan takes a hold of that indignation and goes around looking for whom to devour. God released indignation in Egypt, but that spirit was careful. Don't cross into Goshen. You are getting my point? These are the things you declare concerning your God. Stop sitting down and say, hey, I hate it's very deadly. Now, wow. What are we going to do? And these useless doctors are on strike. For what? Yeah, sack them. What nonsense? And the spirits are looking. Everybody's afraid. Listen, you are the salt of the earth. Amen. You must not be afraid. When you hear the news, magnify the Lord. Magnify him. Magnify him. Magnify him. Magnify him. Call upon his name. It is those who call upon the name of the Lord that will be saved. It is not those who desire salvation. It is not those who have sown the powerful seed towards their deliverance. Those who will be saved are those who called upon the name of the Lord. And my emphasis in all these teachings is to let people understand that the name of God is not Jehovah
you know, Megedishi or, you know, Susugamushi or, you know, Susuk. No. The name of God is, I've given you one already. The God who said in his word that no evil will befall me and no plague will come near my dwelling. The God who drew a line for the spirit of vengeance that was in Egypt and therefore it couldn't cross over. The God who recognized the blood. You know, that's the name of God. You magnify that name. You know, okay, I said we should open somewhere. Chapter 16. You notice something there? This is around verse 13. Somebody sent this to me and I read it. It was very beautiful. In fact, New King James gives it, you know, it hyphenates about six words there in verse 13. Hagar was speaking. Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. If you have a New King James, it puts like this. You are the God who sees. New King James hyphenates it. Joins into one single word. That's how it is. That is, no matter the trouble you are in, it's not just, God, help me now. No. You know, some people know they'll be abusing God. Where were you when this was happening? Where were you when I had my troubles? Where were you? That's a question. You're not calling upon the name of the Lord. Hey, God, taught us something here. At such times you look and say, you are the God who sees. That's the name. The God who sees. The God who's aware of my issues. Are you getting my point? That is how to call upon the name of the Lord. It's on that one I said, look, we should read this one. It's very, 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 very important. Psalm 18. I like this because there are so many things there. So many things to see concerning the character, the glory of the Lord. And from these things, you see his name. Psalm 18. Let me read the New American Standard Bible. It said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. That's the first thing there. That is the name of God. O Lord, my strength. That's the name. That is, no matter what it is that comes towards me in life, it looks like I can't handle. This is how you overcome. Call upon the name of the Lord. Are you getting my point? How do you call upon him? Simple. Oh Lord, my strength. When you say my strength, you know, your mind has left your muscles. Your mind has left your own capabilities. Your mind has left your own resources. You are drawing upon the resources of heaven. I hope you are getting my point. That is what Christianity is about. It's about calling upon the name of the Lord. Here he said, oh Lord, my strength. Look at verse 2. Another name of God. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. How many names do we have there? Three. My rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Please let me explain something to you. When David was saying this, that rock thing, he had a practical meaning for him. And at least easily we understand my fortress. That is my walled city. A place you hide in and you are defended from the onslaught of the enemies. And my deliverer. That's easy to understand. He said, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. Let me say to you again, in whom I take refuge is also a name. Are you getting my point? He said, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He said, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. When I call upon him, what happened? I like my New American Standard here, the way it says it. I call upon the name. He said, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. I like the way he said it. I call upon him and I am saved. Now notice something. How did he call upon the name? He simply declared, God is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. God in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. When I shout that, my enemies, they are defeated. You know what we do a lot of times in today's Christianity? This is what I'm correcting. We focus on my enemies. I don't know whether I get the point. You see, David did not focus on the enemies. What we do is, where are they? The enemies are at junctions. They are not sleeping. The enemies are currently offering, you know, we focus. All the enemies die. All the enemies die. And you've noticed that they don't die. 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 Why? That's not what kills them. What kills enemies is when the man, when the woman calls upon the name of the Lord, not when you start shooting arrows at the enemies. You know, there are some occultic, you know, occultic now. I don't mean the good sense. You know, we have our good occult. Amen. If you're a member of the good cult, say amen.
Amen.
I love you. I'm happy. You know what it means to be in the good cult. The highest cult is the cult of Christ. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
There we drink blood. If you're a blood drinker here, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, we drink the blood of Jesus Christ. And we eat his flesh. Some witches say they are eating flesh. We know how we were eating flesh before they were born. Amen?
Amen.
Uh-huh. Now, there are some funny worldly occultic practices that Christians get involved in. Shooting arrows at their enemies. That's not Christianity. Come on, leave this witchcraft alone and come into the real thing. Do you understand my point? And you know the truth? People love it. People love it. They love to shoot arrows. It makes them feel like they say warfare. Warfare. That's not warfare. That's a joke. You get my point? It's not warfare. You wake up at night, say that's 2 a.m. Let's start firing the arrow. All my enemies, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. It's a joke. It's a way to lose weight. You know, when you go, you know, listen, I'm not joking. There are different forms of aerobics. There are different forms of aerobics. That's church aerobics. Try it. Just go home. Do this like 50 times. Your arms go ache. Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. Like I say all the time, listen, Holy Ghost fire does not fire on enemies. Where does he fire? Upon the child of God. Holy Ghost fire upon you.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Holy Ghost fire upon me.
Amen.
If I have Holy Ghost fire, you'll be blessed next time you come. You don't know that? And you are filled with the Holy Ghost fire, I will speak the word of God with boldness. That's why I need to pray all the time. Holy Ghost fire, fall on me. But Christians get up. How did they do? They direct fire at their enemies. And it does not work. It's a joke. It's a fat joke. It's more than, you know, you tune Christian TV. You just say, okay, sow a seed to destroy your enemies. It's a joke. I mean that literally. It's a joke. How did David destroy his enemies? Look at verse 6. Let us continue from verse 4. The cause of death encompassed me. And the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured, and coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. You can read the rest later of what God did. My emphasis is, how did David contact that? How did he cry to God for help? Look at verses 1. To 3, he just got up and said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. No, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He said, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Please, I'm emphasizing something to us here. Sometimes in life, you know, Christians, and I told you before, and I always like to add this one, just to help people.
When you want to know a prophet that is confused, he tries to decipher who's the cause of your problems. If anybody tries that for you, just get up and leave. Number one, 9 times out, that's not good to say like that. 9 out of 10 is not good, right? Let me say the one that's more accurate. 999 times out of 1,000. They are wrong. 1 time out of 1,000, they accurately, because you actually have human enemies. You understand my point? Yes, you actually have. You know, people say that, are you saying they are no enemies? They are enemies. I'm just saying that I don't focus on them. When I focus on God, if you are a real enemy, you are destroyed. That's what I'm just saying. 1 time in 1,000, they may actually be able to identify the real human enemy. But at the end of the day, this is how you know truth, whether it is real truth or fake truth. What's the prescription? Okay, you say it's my uncle. Let us assume it's really my uncle. My uncle says that I will not make progress. This is my business will not do well. Why he will say that, I don't know. But let us assume it happens because it's demon possessed. All right, that's the reason. Then what should I do? I'll go to his house and knock. Uncle, they have exposed you. Let's be honest. If he really had the power, he would kill you that night. No, think about it. Think about it. If he really had the power, what will he do? He will end you that night. Uncle, they have... Went to church, you go to your uncle's house. This is how you know people who have been tormented, thinking they have been delivered. You go to your uncle's house, take a drink. No. Why don't you want to drink something? I'm not thirsty. All right. Maybe you like some fruit? No. Why not? I'm a vegetarian. I mean, I knew vegetarian was wrong. I just didn't know what else to say. Okay, I'm a meatarian. All right. I'm a meatarian. I don't eat vegetables. Okay, let them get you some suya. No. Why? They said Ebola virus, we should not eat anything that is roasted. Why? Because somebody went and pointed fingers at your uncle. I'm saying to you again, it is a fat lie. 1,999 out of 1,000 times, they are totally off tangent. They are totally off course. They are totally wrong. Even when they appear to be right, it's still the same thing. The solution is wrong. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. True prophets, they never do that. True visions don't come like that. The reason is because it's irrelevant to Jesus Christ, who made the man blind. If you can heal him, heal him. Do you understand my point? Who sinned that this one should be born blind? What difference does it make to you, Peter? Okay, it's his grandfather. Go and wake him from the grave to come and make a sacrifice for the sin. Can you do that? No. And that was what Jesus was trying to emphasize. In the same manner, we Christians, we don't care. We don't care who the enemy is. You enter into the office, they tell you that some people, they are competing for this seat. You don't know. You have to fortify yourself. The only fortification you need is this psalm right here. Psalm 18. Just go there. When you go to work in the morning and greet everybody, shake their hands vigorously. Mr. Jale Koko, how are you? God is good. How is today? It is well with you. In this place where we are working, God, who is my strength? God, who is my fortress? He will cause us to prosper. If it's a real witch that's afflicting you, the man will fall sick there. As we are saying it, he starts having palpitations. By the end of the week, his kidneys will fail. Then he will repent and say, sir, where's your church? Don't worry, he's not going to die. Most of your enemies will not die. They will follow you to church. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You don't need all this one of looking for who's... I know I'm talking to somebody now. In fact, 2 people came to my mind. Somebody has been telling you that be careful, though. When you go out, you know, some people tell you that you don't know who's who. Question is, I don't know who's who. Do you know who's who? No, I don't care who's who. I only know who is God. Are you getting my point? I don't know who is who. I don't care. Say, hey, stop saying things. People will hear if they hear and go. I will give you something straight. If you go to a church where this is what they do, listen, if you want to prosper in life, get out. I'm not kidding about that. I don't care where you go to. You understand? As long as you don't go to a mosque. You know, really. I don't, you know. But I would rather you go to a mosque. It sounds funny, and I can prove it to you. I just don't have the time. Then go to a church where they are warning you against your enemies, your neighbors. Hey, don't let them know. If they hear you want to prosper now, they will just do something. And this is your God that can't protect you. You know your God has no power. You know, he can only bless you when your enemies are not aware. Yeah. Psalm 23 does not work again, no? Because God no longer sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He can only set a table behind your enemies, so your enemies must not know. Because your God has become that impotent, what you will do is to hide from your enemies. Don't tell anybody. Some will now say, you see, Joseph told his brother, saw what happened. I don't know why people don't see what happened. Didn't you see what happened to Joseph? He became prime minister in Egypt. What are you saying? You saw what happened? Yes, I saw what happened. He became prime minister. You know, in Nigeria, when women are pregnant, nobody knows them, so that the witch will not possess the child. But people come and announce on television. We went to last week to the clinic. My wife is now 7 days pregnant. Hey, that is, they are not afraid of anybody. If a pregnant woman goes to the market, somebody touches the stomach, and she gets fever that day. Hey, why did I go to market? Why did I go to market? Why did I go to market? Why? God, Holy Ghost fire against that woman. That was... You are not a Christian. Please, some things are not befitting of Christianity. I'm traveling. I will tell anybody. I don't care. Oh, next week I'm going to America. Yeah, after that, I'll go to Scotland. From there, I'm going to come back to Nigeria. And then we'll settle down and bless the name of the Lord. You say, yeah, a witch that can talk hookah. Go and wait. Go and wait there. If you are not toppled, you are not a witch. Yes, go and wait there. You know, I told you my joke the other day, which really happened. Bat entered my bedroom. My wife said, oh God, baby, I love you. Eh? You know, I like the way she said it. Oh, you know, she was lying down on the bed. Just said, oh, see bat. Do you understand? Very calmly. Oh, see bat. I said, where? Oh, you just entered that wardrobe. Are you serious? That is, if now some people. Ah, husband, see bat. Ah, hey, in Jesus' name. No, not yet. Fear. My wife just said, see bat. I said, where is he? Has entered the wardrobe. I said, okay. Bishop and his wife, they are downstairs. We'll handle the bat and we'll come back. I closed the wardrobe and locked the door. So, bat, wait here. I have visitors. And when we finished, we came back. Opened the basket, opened the door, the bat came out, I trapped into the basket. I gave my cousin, I said, go help me throw it away. Is it not a witch? No, it's a bat. It missed its way. It's a bat. It's not a witch. How do you know it's not a witch? Witches don't cross my fence. That's how I'm so sure. You see, you cross that fence, you ain't dead yet. You're not possessed. You are not possessed. No, you are not possessed. You are a creature. Adam gave you a name in the wilderness. You in the garden. No. You are not a witch. If indeed you were a witch, your feathers will drop on my fence. That's a matter of fact. Listen to me. How do we become saved Christians? We don't magnify the name or the works of our enemies. No, we don't. We don't do that. It's irrelevant. I wake up every day and declare, God is my rock, my fortress, my refuge, my high tower. That's why I'm calling upon his name. In the midst of everything, I declare the name of God. Listen, if they dash to 1 billion naira today, never look at that money as anything. When you still wake up in the morning, say, God is my supplier. God is the one who gives me food. This money may be the hand of God, but it's not God. I will not make an image of money. Paul said, I have learned how to abound and how to abase. I have plenty cash, God is still God. I have little cash, God is still God. When he wants to supply my needs, sometimes he uses cash. Other times he does not use cash. He does not use cash sometimes. Whatever it is in life, I am always acknowledging God in all my ways. I acknowledge God in all my ways. If I'm disappointed, I magnify the name of the Lord. Yes. If I'm disappointed, I magnify the name of God. I always say it. You're a businessman. They say, hey, if you had come on time, this business will have come to you. You'll say, no. The business that is mine was sent by my God. It will wait for me. That way you are not angry with anybody. Whatever it is in life, I magnify the name of my God. I do. And that's what we must do as Christians. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He now said, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first of all thy produce. I was emphasizing something here that you discover that what he was trying to say there, rather than to harassing ourselves about money, God was trying to say, listen, make sure I am acknowledged all the time. And if I am acknowledged, look at what will happen. He says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Remember our scripture the other time? What do you store in barns? Who can tell me? What do you store in barns? Grain. Thank you. That is basic necessities. What is new wine? It's a sign of what? Luxury. God says, if you acknowledge me at all times, I will fill you with the basic necessities of life, and I will fill your life with luxury. Listen, and I mean that literally. One day, let me close. One day, this is something when I say it, but believe it. One day you buy a private jet and just park it to fly once in a while. Say, why? I don't know. I just felt like buying it. Why? It's called your vat overflowing with what? New wine. I heard the reprint say that, and I was, He said, new oil and new wine refer to luxuries. That God, Isaac said, I have sustained Jacob with grain and with new wine. And God says, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, don't ever look at your certificate and think that's the reason you are going to go far in life. You are giving the name of the Lord to a vain thing. A certificate is a vain thing. Because if you acknowledge me in all your ways, listen, I will fill your barns and then make sure your vat overflows. I will make sure that no basic necessity is lacking in your life. And if you blink in the direction of luxury, I pour it to you. What I've said is not a joke. God is not afraid to give you anything. He's not. He's not afraid. He's not work. What he's saying is this. Will you acknowledge me in all your ways? God is not saying, look for money and come and quickly give it to me. This is my first month's salary. This is my first year's salary. He's not looking for money. He's not looking for money. What he's looking for is that when you come to him, you say, Lord, if anything comes into my hands, I know you sent it. Not because my father is connected. Not because I'm smart. Not because I'm beautiful. Not because I'm so eloquent when I talk. Say, no, in all your ways, what do? Acknowledge him. He will fill your barns with grain. He will fill your barns with food. And he will fill your vats with new wine. If you believe that, say amen. That's what it means. God bears all kinds of names. Let me close. I like one that I wrote here, which is so beautiful. Don't open to it because of time. He said, Psalm 35. He said, let the Lord be praised who delights in the prosperity of his servant. That's the name. That is the name. That is the name. That is the name. Well, let us stop. Can I just bow down and just begin to give the Lord thanks and begin to call upon his name? Listen, sometimes you are in trouble, you don't know it. But because you have made calling God a habit, sometimes you are in trouble, you don't know it too. But you have made calling upon his name a habit. Therefore, he constantly delivers you. Therefore, he constantly delivers you. Just call upon. Let's rise to our feet quickly. Let's just rise to our feet. Open your Bibles to that Psalm 18. Just open your Bibles and look into your own Bible. Let's just do this together and then we'll pray for a minute and then I'm out of here. Verse 2. Everybody say after me, the Lord is my rock,
the Lord is my rock
and my fortress,
and my fortress,
and my deliverer,
and my deliverer,
my God,
my God,
my rock,
my rock,
in whom I take refuge.
In whom I take refuge.
He's my shield,
he's my shield,
and the horn of my salvation,
and the horn of my salvation,
my stronghold.
My stronghold.
Say it again, my stronghold,
my stronghold,
my help,
my help,
my rock,
my rock,
my fortress,
my fortress,
and my deliverer.
And my
my strength.
My strength.
In him I take refuge.
In him I take refuge.
He's my supplier.
He's my supplier.
He's my keeper.
He's my keeper.
Say, the Lord is my keeper.
The Lord is my keeper.
At my right hand.
At my right hand.
Say, because of him,
because of
the sun will not smite me by day.
Nor the moon by night.
Say, the Lord protects me from all evil. He's my protector.
He's my protector.
He's my help.
He's my help.
He's my defense.
He's my defense.
Say, he's my life.
He's my life.
He's my everything.
He's my everything.
And he's my father.
And he's my father.
That is very important. Many people think God is a computer. God is not a computer. You know what he is? He's a father. You know what a father is? A father thinks. He checks your skin. Are you warm? What's going on? Have you eaten? Have you not eaten? He can read your motives. He sees you. He's not a computer. Who, except you put in 200 naira, he can't give you 20,000. That's not God. That's the computer. Say it again. God is my father.
God is my father.
Say, my father.
My father.
My father.
My father.
Can we just do something? Just shut your eyes and think about any issue that may be bothering you this evening. And there is a name. The Holy Spirit will let you know right away the name that God bears in the midst of that affliction. Now just begin to call that name. Just begin to call that name. You are not praying about anything, no. You are not saying, Lord, please, my leg that is in, please, heal, leg, I speak to you. No, no, no. You're just saying, my healer, my deliverer, the one who took away my infirmities. You're just calling, you're magnifying him. You're magnifying. Remember, it is what you magnify that controls your life. Many people magnify their troubles. They claim they are looking for prayers, though, but it's actually magnifying their troubles. That's what they do all the time. And the trouble never goes away. Come on, magnify God this evening. Magnify God. David said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name together. Please magnify him. Think about it. Think about it. There's something, and the Holy Spirit right away, based on what we have discussed this evening, will let you know precisely what the name of the Lord is in that situation. Remember, it is those who call upon his name that is saved. Lord, we thank you because of the beauty of your name. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.